is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Praise God. I'm glad to be with you today here at Bible Home Church. And, you know, we have a tremendous series, How to Have Victory Over the Devil. Oh, I'll tell you, the Bible says that the devil is furious in the last days, for he knows he has but a very short time. And, of course, his destiny is the pit. You know, Satan, the adversary, boasted so much. You read about that in Isaiah 14. He said he would be like the Most High, and he would establish himself up in heaven. And, of course, we see that Satan certainly has some temporary power, but we don't want to give too much ground to the devil. In fact, as a Christian, I don't believe you have to give any ground to the devil. Now, there's no doubt that he is, quote-unquote, God, with a small g, God of this world, until Jesus comes again. But through his resurrection, Jesus Christ was victorious. And one thing that I feel very sorry for is a pitiful, old, defeated, would-be Christian that believes the devil has more powers than he does. And that's why we've had this series for several programs now, several services here at Bible Home Church, so you can know how to have victory over the devil. A specific roadmap. You know, Christians don't have to be in the dark. We don't have to be groping around saying, oh, woe is us, I'm fighting this horrible old devil. Well, you are fighting him, but let me tell you something, my friends. You've got all of the weapons that you need, and your weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to finish that series, and right after this song, we have a wonderful message in song in just a moment. Now, after this message, you'll hear Tex Mars as he continues his talk, and that's me, Tex Mars, by the way, if you don't know my voice, and we're going to continue. And we'll have about a 5-minute message that'll be the conclusion of our series. And it'll be right after this song. And then you stay with us because we have some more things to talk to you about. In fact, wow, you won't believe the controversial information I'm going to bring to you even after the conclusion of this message, How to Have Victory Over the Devil. Got a lot in store. But first, this song. You know, Walt Mills is a good friend of mine. Juan and I had the pleasure of meeting him in Dallas, Texas at a conference some years ago. And he got back home and nobody even hardly knew who Walt Mills was. He sent me two or three of his audio tapes. He wasn't a big name at all at the time and said, Tex, I enjoyed meeting you and Wanda. And here's some of my music. I hope it'll be a blessing from God. Who, you know, Walt Mills believes very deeply in. And now, of course, Walt has had several number one best-selling albums, I guess, in the Christian market place. But I don't think money is his objective. Having met Walt, I really believe he does love the Lord. And this song is very special. Walt sings, Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. And friends, can you imagine a heaven without Jesus? Well, I can't even imagine, I cannot imagine an earth without Jesus Christ and his spirit here. Here's Walt Mills, and then I'll finish up my message, How to Win, Have Victory Over the Devil. Walt Mills, Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me.
I've heard of a land that is wondrously fair. They say that its splendor is far beyond compare. In that place that's called heaven, my soul longs to be, for where Jesus is, it will be heaven for me. Heaven for me, heaven for me. Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. All its beauty and wonder I'm longing to see, but Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. If the walls were not jasper and its streets were not gold, if mansions would crumble and if folks still grew old, still I've seen everything I've been longing to see. For if Jesus is there, it will be heaven for me. I'm longing to see, but Jesus will be, you know, Jesus will be, yes, Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me.
Now, one of the things you have to understand is that Jesus also rebuked the devil, didn't he? Now, how did Jesus do it? Remember, during those 40 days in the wilderness, the devil came to him and said, I know you're hungry, I know you're thirsty, I can give you all these things. Boy, why don't you call on the angels? They'll come and protect you. And look at this great kingdoms I'll give you. I mean, the devil was tempting him. And of course, Jesus was hungry, dry, hot, there in the wilderness. You know how Jesus answered him? He didn't start saying, you dirty old devil, you know, you've done this and that. You know what he said? It is written. It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Yeah, he was hungry, but he says, hey, it is written. Now that, my friends, was a rebuke of the devil. Jesus could have said all day, well, I can make it, I may be hungry, but I'll never give in to you. He didn't do that. He didn't go with all that. He didn't mess with all that. You don't have to mess with the devil. You don't have to plead with the devil. You don't have to contend with him. You don't have to defend yourself against him. You don't have to argue with him. He is smarter than you. He is wiser because he's wise as a serpent. He's wiser than the children of light. He's the child of darkness. He will outsmart you. He will outthink you. He will out-accuse you. He is always accusing the brethren. He's your biggest accuser. You think you can accuse him? He says, say bad things about me, I'll tell God the most dirty, foul things about you, and I'll be telling the truth. Because I've had my devils report on you, and we know about you. And he can. But, you know, like that saying goes, he reminds you of his past, and you just remind him of his future, his destiny. Remember we talked about that? in Isaiah 14. Jesus said, it is written, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou shalt not worship the Lord thy God, or thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The devil said, worship me and I'll give you this kingdom. But he says, it is written, worship only the Lord thy God. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's about as strong as Jesus got. Other than that, he just used scripture. I think that's pretty good. When you feel tempted of the devil, use some scripture on him. When you feel down and depressed, things are going bad in your life, use some scripture. There again, aren't all of these things tied together? Are you not keeping the Word of God when you're doing that? Keeping God's Word? So here's how it's done. Then you can resist the devil. He will flee from you by keeping his words. I may have mentioned to you the gentleman that told me his wife was into unity. She was in a New Age thing. She was into transcendental meditation. She insisted every morning that he pray with her. He was a Bible-believing Christian. She was a New Age believer. So he said, okay, I'll pray with you. So they started their prayer in the morning, and she got in her lotus-like position or whatever. She was going to om and meditate and all this stuff. And he says, before we start, and he was going to pray, she was going to meditate. He said, before we start, I would just like to read a few verses of the Bible. And he just very calmly began to read, and she began to vomit. No reading of the Bible, she said. Does it strike you from that the devil doesn't even like these words read to him? He fears the very Word of God. Okay, let's summarize. Four keys to victory over the devil. We've talked about, and I know there are some more. We just can't get to all of them. But we have four that I believe if you just use these four, if you employ these four, you'll be so strong in the Lord Jesus Christ that you will have total victory over the devil. I really believe that. First, humble yourself before God. Submit yourself to God. Second, draw nigh to God. Third, walk in His light. And four, keep His words. And if you do those four things, you will never fail. And you'll be contented and you'll be happy all of your days. And believe me, the devil will be very miserable around you, and he probably will not stay for very long. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the victory that we have. The victory, Lord, that we have because of your sacrifice on the cross. The victory, Lord, that we have because you live within us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and we praise you for the victory that we have because you are the light of the world. And most of all, we thank you for the fact that we can keep your words and know that they are pure and that they are life-changing and they are life-protecting. We thank you on all of these things, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Well, that was the conclusion, my friends, of how to have victory over the devil. Well, I promised you that we had some very important things to talk about after that conclusion, and let me preface it by saying that over the next 3 to 4 weeks here on Bible Home Church, we're going to have a series entitled, Who Are God's Chosen People? Who are God's chosen people? This may be one of the more important topics that I have ever covered in my life, I've ever discussed. This is something I have really never preached on publicly, but God put it in my heart. And let me tell you why. Did you notice that as I concluded our series on how to have victory over the devil, I so emphasized that to truly have victory, the Christian must use the greatest weapon of all, and that is the Scriptures, the very Word of God. Now, this is the only way, my friends, you and I can say straight that, and of course, prayer and communion with our Lord Jesus. But I don't believe that prayer is going to avail a man or a woman much if they really don't have a great love and regard for the Word of God. I mean, how do you feel? How would you feel if you were the Lord Himself and you, His servant, got on your knees and admitted, well, Lord, I really don't care much for your word, but go ahead and answer my prayer anyway. Well, I don't think that would get very far with God. You see, he wants someone in his kingdom who will obey his word. Now, one of the things that we're going to be talking about when we talk about God's chosen people, we're going to answer that question. You may be surprised. I would venture to say that at least half the people or more would give me the wrong answer. If I went up to you at a church and we were standing in the vestibule or the foyer waiting services to begin, and I said, brother or sister, who are God's chosen people? I venture to say that a great number of you would immediately say, the Jews. And if I said, are you chosen by God? Well, yes, you would say, but that's different. And I'm going to tell you right now, friends, if you did, you would be standing on very, very shaky ground, on shifting sands, because you don't have one shred of biblical truth behind your statements. Now, let me just tell you the way it is, and what I'm going to prove to you over the coming weeks from the Scriptures. Here it is in a nutshell. It will be controversial. Some people will scream and tear out their hair and write me letters and call up the ministry and say, take me off your mailing list, and I don't want to be a member of this church anymore, and oh my, what are you talking about? And of course, you know, the Bible itself says don't answer a man until you've heard all the facts. And my facts are not my own, but those of God. If they were of my own ideas, they could very well be tainted, polluted, and wrong. I don't hold my own opinions higher than yours. Not at all. My opinions may or may not be based on facts and evidence. But I know this. God has his opinion, and his opinion is truth. And he states it in his Bible. I want to read to you something that is mighty. I believe when you get down to the Word of God, you're going to find who are God's chosen people. It is so clear. It could not be more clear. Now, pick up your Bibles, friends, if you don't have them, and turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to tell you about witchcraft. It says here, O foolish Galatians. Paul's talking now to the church at Galatia, Gentiles, perhaps some Jews, members there. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Now, right away, how would you like to be called foolish? How would you like to be accused of being involved in witchcraft by an apostle of Almighty God? I'm telling you, I would shrink. I would fall to the floor with fright at such a thing. Well, maybe you better just fall to the floor right now, because you may be involved in witchcraft, and you may be so foolish, but I'm here to release you from that, because the Word of God will set the captives free. That's what Jesus came for, to set the captives free. You can be freed from false doctrines. If you don't know who are God's chosen people, I'm going to tell you today, and then in the coming weeks, I'm going to prove it to you over and over and over in the Word of God. And if you believe anything else except what I'm telling to you, and I'm telling it to you only because it's the Word of God, not my text Mars opinion. My opinion has nothing to do with it. I reject my opinion totally unless it's in conformance and in alignment with the Word of God. Let's go on a little bit more now. Are you wondering, my friends, whether you might be one of those foolish Galatians? Are you wondering if maybe even the very fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was crucified, that you still don't obey the truth? Are you afraid maybe that you're part of the witchcraft element in the world today, and yet you call yourself a Christian? Well, let's find out if you're that. Now, we go on to verse 6. It says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, first of all, my friends, Do you believe God? If you believe His scriptures and you believe God and His Son Jesus Christ, then it will be accounted to you for righteousness. Now let's go on. Verse 7 says, Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? Are you a child of Abraham? You say, well, I've got faith in Jesus. Well, what does it say? They which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. You say, well, I'm not a child of Abraham. I'm a Gentile. Well, okay, I'll accept your word for it. You say you're a Gentile and you're not the child of Abraham? Okay, I accept that. Then you're a heathen, aren't you? You're not saved. Okay, well then get right with God. But if you do believe in Jesus, through faith in Jesus, then you're the child of Abraham. Now believe the Bible or believe the Scofield scholars and all these other people. Let's go right on. Verse 8 says, And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, if you're a heathen, there's hope, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. Way before you were ever born, God foresaw he would bring in the heathen or the Gentiles into his kingdom through faith, because he preached the gospel unto Abraham. Abraham saw Jesus in faith. And then God said to Abraham, because he believed, that it was accounted to him for righteousness, and said to him, In thee shall all nations be blessed. All nations. Oh, I thought it was just Israel. All nations. Now let's go right on. Verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You say, well, I'm not blessed with faithful Abraham because he was a Jew. I'm not a Jew. Okay, I'll accept your word. By your own tongue, you convict yourself. Maybe you're not blessed with faithful Abraham. But text Marcius. Because I believe in Jesus. Now it goes on here. Let's just go right on down. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Did you get that, my friends? Jesus died on the cross. He took upon himself the curse, that you might receive the blessing of Abraham. You, a Gentile, through Jesus Christ. Not of yourselves, not of the law, but of faith in Jesus, that you might receive the promise through faith. Now, you then have Abraham as your father. You're blessed with faithful Abraham. If you're a Christian, if you have Jesus, and you have the promise. And you have the covenant. It says, verse 15, Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now, verse 16 is powerful. It says, Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, And to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. A lot of people say, But I thought that only the seed of Abraham had the promise and the covenant. Only the seed of Abraham, right? Isn't that what it says in Genesis? You better believe it does. And who is the seed of Abraham? It's Jesus. Not as of many, but as of one. It's Christ Jesus. This is the covenant, verse 17 says, which was confirmed before of God in Christ. Now let's go then with verse 22. It says, But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Verse 26 says, For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 28, There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. A lot of people say, well, now there's the Jews and then there's the Gentiles and you can't mix the two. Oh, really? Is that your opinion, my friends? Well, then your opinion is wrong. And if it was my opinion would be wrong. You say, but wait, Tex, you're mixing things up. Because I'm not of Abraham's seed And I'm not an heir according to the promise and the covenant. If you want to say that, friends, then you're denying your salvation. And I then will accept that. I pray that God won't. I pray that God will straighten you out if you're a Christian. Let me read you verse 29, and I'm going to end with this. And if you didn't listen to anything I said today, if you didn't listen to one thing, listen to this one verse. And know it and never ever forget it. Verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, friends, are you Abraham's seed? You say, well, I'm not Jewish. Well, friends, I accept the fact that you're not Jewish. But the Bible says there is neither Jew nor Greek, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. That has nothing to do with it. Let me read it to you again, verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I want to ask you again, do you belong to Christ? Then the Bible says you're Abraham's seed. And if you're Abraham's seed, you're heirs of the covenant and of the promise. Praise God, I believe in the Scriptures. I don't care what Mr. Schofield, a corrupt lawyer who lived back at the turn of the century, I don't care what he said in his Scofield Bible. I don't care what every Southern Baptist says or every Pentecostal. I don't care what anybody says. Believe Galatians because it's God's Word. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Bible Home Church. We'll be back next week, my friends, with more from the Word of God.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.